Chapter 5. Pimander and Hermes. In order to reveal the wisdom of the Corpus Hermeticum to the limit of our capability, we will not follow the text verse by verse. We will try to present a general view to assist you in visualizing the book Pimander and the following works of Hermes. If we did not adopt this approach, it would be necessary to present a compilation of enormous proportions. As we explained in the third chapter, the Hermetic man is able, because of his inner state and transfiguring life, to enter into contact with the universal field of the spirit. A structure of force lines arises in the focus of such a contact. Pimander manifests himself. Pimander appears out of the spirit. Understand that Pimander is not a separate entity living in the field of the spirit, but is an ignition in it, a living reality. Yet this igniting fire is the Pimander of Hermes, for its manifestation is related to the state of being and the qualitative power of Hermes. It is stated that when Hermes reflected on the essential things and his spirit soul elevated itself, Pimander appeared, he that is, and yet also is not. If the Hermetic man ceases for a while to concentrate upon the field of the spirit, the Pimandric figure disappears, dissolves in the omnipresent light. Then the fiery flames fade away. Pimander is present, nevertheless. He is not, because he is completely one with all the light. From the first text we are struck by the fact that Hermes reflected on the essential things and that his spirit soul lifted itself up. You should pay attention to this, for this process is a requirement for the Hermetic man. It demonstrates the so necessary cooperation between head and heart which defines life. You can remember this as an axiom. They cannot be separated, says Pimander, and therefore you must get to know the secret of the heart. Man has four vehicles: the material body, its etheric double, the desire body, and the thinking faculty. The etheric body builds and maintains the material body. The desire body defines the inclinations, the type, the character, the ability of man, in short, his essential nature. The desire body, or sidereal figure as Paracelsus called it, surrounds and penetrates us from every angle, and the sidereal fluids enter our material system by means of the liver. There is a continuous circulation of these forces that enter and leave the liver. So the liver is more especially the focus of the desire body. The quality of the head and heart sanctuaries is in accordance with the nature of the desire body as it has developed since birth. The head and heart of natural man are the slaves of the desire body. The functions of the heart and the mentality are directed by the desire body. Your feelings and your thinking as persons of this nature are regulated by your pelvic sanctuary. Consequently, you live out of your pelvic sanctuary through your spleen liver system, bound to matter, desiring and focused upon everything that is of ordinary nature. All sidereal radiations enter the liver in accordance with the activities of your desire nature. When, after endless roaming on the dreary road of experience, a human being reaches a dead end in nature, bound life, it can happen that he begins to desire renewal, to yearn for a liberating solution, that in such a man, something like a yearning for salvation develops, an urge to seize one or another approach to salvation, keen to realize it within himself, that he might climb up out of the pit of mortification. This state of searching for renewal, this increasingly conscious yearning for salvation, is the highest form of desire of which nature-born man is capable. You cannot reach higher. What in your heart churns and boils is completely desire, and its qualitative pinnacle is yearning for salvation. This is the highest state, the limit of dialectical astral radiation. When we stand at this border, the gnosis touches us, not in the liver, but in the heart. The first touch of the gnosis always takes place in the heart sanctuary. However, that occurs only in answer to man's yearning for salvation. Therefore, it is out of the question that anyone who would approach the temples of the Gnostic spiritual school simply experimentally or out of curiosity would benefit in any way. It is beneficial to be in a Gnostic focus only when the heart has opened somewhat for the gnosis, yet only as a result of that highest state of desire, the yearning for salvation. In the gnosis, the heart is called the sanctuary of love, but because of all kinds of karmic influences which have been active since the moment of our birth and which inevitably define our way of life throughout the years, the heart of natural man is no longer a sanctuary of love. There is not one particle of real love to be found in his heart. It is a den of criminals, a pit of pestilence. When, in ancient times, the heart was called the sanctuary of love, it referred to a heart that was prepared for a life force, a possibility of life that can rightly bear the name of love. Everything that is lower than the high standard of love is a state of desire, of I-centrality. At first, the yearning for salvation is also a demand for the self. The I is in a tight corner, and now it seeks a way out. I seek my salvation. The gnosis, in its imperishable love, touches us in an endeavor to help us, because we are such desperately poor wretches. The love that is worthy of the name is not be found in the essence of dialectics. It is of a higher order. It belongs to the new, true life. It is spirit. It is God. That is why Pimander says in the 17th verse, the spirit soul is God the Father. And in verse 19, direct your heart upon the light and know it. With these words, so continues Hermes, he looked me full in the face for a while, so penetratingly that I shuddered under his gaze. That is the test. What will be present in your heart, sanctuary in the future? Desire or love? Direct your heart upon the light and know it. When the light makes its abode in the heart sanctuary, your desire nature must disappear. Then egocentricity, that urge of the I, must be completely extinguished. We must realize that the heart sanctuary is the basis for the spirit. The spirit will have to live there, and consequently, the heart sanctuary will have to be completely prepared in all its aspects for this high state. Life is where the heart is, says Pimander. When the heart is prepared for its duty, we will see in the spirit soul the beautiful, original human figure, the archetype of our human existence, the original principle from before the beginning without end. Dialectical man has made a cavern of desire out of his heart. Do see this very clearly. Within him roars the fire of the passion of the eye, while in fact the heart is destined to offer a habitation to the spirit, to the God in us, who is potentially present in the proto-atom. Do you understand how intensely ill we are, how extraordinarily deep we have sunk? The heart sanctuary, the temple for the God in us, has become a den of criminals. He who has been enabled to devote his heart once more to his service will also be able to open the head sanctuary for his priestly task in the service of mankind. Then he too will be able to reflect on the essential things, for out of the renewed heart the mercury consciousness is born. The gnosis considers us as patients because of the psychical condition of our heart sanctuaries. For this reason, we are tolerated. The mercury consciousness, the threefold new faculty of thinking, willing, and acting, can be born only out of a renewed heart. When you then reflect on the essential things, it may happen that you are lifted up with the purified heart into the omnipresent field of the spirit. Therefore, the hermetic development and the hermetic life based themselves upon the unification and cooperation of the heart and the head, not of the eye and the head, but of the purified heart and the head. The world has stranded on this requirement. The chaos and the degeneration are clearly visible, and the eye asks, what are we coming to? One experiments in many ways using an enormous amount of energy and dynamism, but without success because man forgets to purify the heart sanctuary and to devote it to his service. Only when the heart is purified, consecrated, and opened for the light will a new mentality arise. Only then will it be possible to place a finger on the sore spots of this world, of this society, when you are called to the gnosis, know and fulfill the task and purify your heart. It must be emptied of desire and of egoism, and it must open itself to the love, for this is the beginning. Then the head will follow, yes, must follow, and then you will meet your Pimanda. Pimanda is born out of God's love, and not out of the urge of the will of someone who is in a tight corner. Hermes Trismegistus tells you that the key to the gnosis is the purification of the heart. When you go this path and carry out this work, the soft voice also will speak to you. What do you wish to hear and see? What is your heart's longing to learn and to know? What else would you wish to learn and to know than the essential things? In the beginning, the most essential thing you should know surely is the truth with regard to yourself. For if you do not know yourself, how will you be able to fathom the other one? The hermetic man, during his first attempt to fathom these things, sees a mighty, serene, and heartwarming light. Through it he sees, in a downward spiraling motion, a pool of darkness, terror, and misery, intensely pitiful, continually in motion in an inexpressible confusion. Dark red flames shoot outwards on all sides, and out of this cavern of confusion, in this pitch-dark blackness, a voice resounds, a silent call, corresponding to the light that is spread. From out of this light a holy word is spoken, and that which is true and pure in the darkness lifts itself out of the dark cavern of birth and begins to form into an atmosphere. So we see the light, which has risen above sunken nature and the atmosphere, both attuning to the original light. Below them lies the moist darkness of earth and water, the dialectical state of being of the candidate. H, however, it is a candidate who is occupied with purifying his heart. The moist darkness of earth and water is moved by the voice of the word that is of and from the light, the word that is turned towards the light. Do you now understand this word? The Pimanda of the living body of the young Gnosis asks. And he gives us the answer. I am that light, and it now abides in the heart of the true candidate. It is God manifested in the flesh, the returning Osiris, the returning Christ. The luminous field of the spirit is first and foremost Pimanda, the structure of force lines of the all revelation. Yet this mighty light, this fire flame of God, chooses to abide in the heart. In this way, the deity becomes a sun, for what has slept in the heart for aeons is awakened through this. The Son of the Deity is manifested in us. He possesses a mighty power. Pimanda calls it the word or the voice. When Pimanda speaks in the candidate, he testifies in the heart, which is the habitation of God. God and the Son, the light field and the descended light, can no longer be separated, for out of their union the new life arises. Therefore, when you, through the emptying of the eye, are ennobled to it, direct your heart to the light and know it. When we recognize it, we see the grand and glorious faculties of the living word within us. We experience in the heart a light of innumerable powers, a truly immeasurable world, the golden head. And we see how the roaring fire of the lower order is enclosed and restrained with great force, and thus brought into balance under the direct guidance of the light and the word which is spoken because of the light. Thus we experience how the lower nature is devoured by transfiguration, or rebirth, through the luminous power of the gnosis which is born in us. This now is the arch-gnosis, the hermetic gnosis, the truth, which has been spoken to mankind since the very beginning. This is the word of Pymander. Now consider whether this word is in accordance with the word that the young gnosis has been allowed to speak to you throughout the years. The testimony concerning the human archetype, the original human figure from before the beginning without end, the human figure that was and is until this hour.